Welcome to Dateline New Haven, WNHH Radio. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. Haven was ticking last night, Tuesday night, folks. It was the Thrilla in Manila. I guess it was on State Street at the Booker T. Washington Academy. That's where we had, with 1 week left before the September 12th Democratic mayoral primary, the Great Debate, hosted by Lavoz Hispana, the New Haven Independent and Democracy Fund. Mayor Tony Harp and her challenger, Marcus Packer, went at it. Boy, they go at it. For a raucous crowd, a standing room only crowd, 350 people. I'd say close to evenly divided between the two campaigns. Passionate. And I'll tell you why it was a great debate. It was a great debate because all the pressing issues pretty much in our city, except not so much about the schools, but otherwise about public safety, holding police accountable, gentrification, housing, poverty, city finances, they were debated in at length, but with a quick pace, questions from a journalist panel, and even better, the questions the candidates asked each other. It was also interesting because part of any election is about whether a person is qualified to run the city. It turns out they don't have big... The two candidates don't have big policy differences, at least as emerged last night. They do have some, especially in how to think about issues as opposed to specifically what they're going to do about it. Packa argues that he would bring in the views of people who are being priced out of New Haven better. Harp argues she's had a policy that has harnessed the real estate revival that will help people in need. But they also talked about who had the qualifications and whether you need someone who's been there for years, knows the ropes, has done a good job in her view, or someone who feels the incumbent has not done a good job, has youthful energy, and it was just a great debate. But I want to put a challenge out to you today here on Dateline New Haven. I want to bring you back as though you were living in 1960, ready? And that was the year of another great debate, the first great television debate that shaped modern political history, the way campaigns are run. That was between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon, who were running for president. It was the first time that analysts believe a televised debate had a big impact on a campaign. The first day after that debate, all the analysts wrote that Richard Nixon had won that debate on substance. They said he won. And people who listened to it on radio said, well, Richard Nixon really knew what he was doing. He's an experienced hand, had the issues better under control. Then people started weighing in. They started talking to people in the country who had watched it. And it wasn't even close. It was though it was a different debate. John F. Kennedy creamed them. And this is also years later by acknowledged by the aides of Richard Nixon, including Roger Ailes later on, who discovered that people watch debates and hear them differently. Because John F. Kennedy came across, no matter what he was saying, it's not like he didn't know anything, he was a U.S. Senator, but he didn't have anything like near the experience of Nixon. Kennedy was calm, he looked young, energetic, he looked right into the camera, his makeup was good, he spoke in a way that people watching TV could follow it. And Richard Nixon looked like he just woke up after a bender. He had these bags under his eyes, he looked dark. He didn't scowl, but he was, you know, whatever you think about Richard Nixon in history, it's been very good to him on substance. He knew what he was doing, but he didn't know how to do a TV debate. It was a new era. He was a product of a different time. And a lot of people believe that, among other reasons, including the stealing of votes in Chicago, John F. Kennedy won that election because of that debate and how it was perceived differently. And now we're in a new era, folks. It's a multimedia era. So last night at the debate, there was a good live crowd of the base. It really was largely the base, the partisans of each candidate who now have to go out and bring that enthusiasm to the streets. And both candidates, Marcus Pack and Tony Harp, did a great job playing to their base at this debate. They got them fired up. They were energetic. They played on the grievances their bases have. They played on the policy positions their bases have. So that was one way to view this debate if you were there. You could have read a live blog of the debate on The Independent, and hundreds of people did that live while the show was on, while the debate was on. Our reporter, Chris Peek, wrote blow-by-blow what happened, and readers started analyzing it and shaping perceptions that way. The debate was also broadcast, we put it on Facebook Live, which is a technology that has revolutionized all local news and the way we find out what's going on in our country. And the quality is pretty low still, despite a very good job done by our people in terms of how it looks and sounds. But especially after the first 10 minutes when we had some technical difficulties, you could definitely hear the whole debate clearly. So some people watched it, but they didn't watch it the way you watch it on TV. It wasn't the close-up pan shots of what you would have seen with Nixon and Kennedy, what you would have seen with President Obama and Mitt Romney and McCain, or what you would have seen with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It was more like a panorama, not especially good lighting. And then CTV, Citizens Television broadcasted. I haven't seen it yet, but they have better equipment. It's more for television as opposed to your smaller screen on the internet. So here's my challenge to you today on Dateline New Haven on WNHH Radio. We're going to play the audio of this debate from the Facebook Live feed. And you're welcome to watch the Facebook Live version of this debate anytime. Because if you go to our article in The Independent, which will be up all through the election, in it is the Facebook Live video. So you can watch it there or on our Facebook page if you want to dig around. But you might want to listen to the debate and see what you think. Not listen to me anymore talk about the debate. But I'm going to play you now. I'm going to start at the 10-minute mark because the introductions from the I was the moderator and John Taylor, the principal, you can't hear them well because of problems with the mic and problems with the first question. But now you're going to hear the bulk of the debate, 50 minutes of it. Tony Harp, Marcus Packer, the candidates in the September 12th Democratic primary. Okay, folks, close your eyes and hear what's happening in New Haven and see what you think.
Are uninsured or underinsured, and I think that's important. And one of the things that they talk about is making sure that the state is at its upper payment limit. I would support taxing them if they could get the dollars back through our Medicaid program.
Thank you. The next question is for Tony Hart from Mercy Gray.
So last summer was an interesting one for New Haven. The city was in flux with three department chiefs, with the departure of three department chiefs. Mayor Harp, what has prepared you, or rather, what from that experience would you grab best practices from, and what would you do differently if that were to happen again?
Certainly, one of the things that you look at when you look at a department head is what their education is, what their experience has been. And oftentimes you don't have an opportunity to look at what their disposition is. In the case of one of those department heads, had a disposition that didn't really work with the community and was responsible for interacting with the community, so that doesn't work. In the case of others, they just haven't been able to do their jobs. Again, good educational background, good skills, but when they had to do their work, could not do it in an ethical way. And so as a result, what I've learned is that you really just can't look at the degrees that a person has, but you've got to look at their experience. You've got to look at their character and those kinds of things, because education matters, yes, but character matters more. And you know, I have been a decisive mayor, and when I discover that someone's character and the way in which they act is not in line with the people of the city of New Haven and our taxpayers, I will make a decision to let them go.
Well, I think the question started off with which two department heads, because it was without a fire chief, a police chief, and it still to this very day without a permanent superintendent. To me, that speaks directly to the leadership capabilities of his current administration in an unprecedented move. Those three people were protected and supported up until the hill, even though they weren't doing things that were in the best interest of our public safety officials, not in the best interest of our children, and not in the best interest of our taxpayers in the region. So what I would do as mayor is I would make sure that I surround myself with people that have a stake and are accountable to the residents and taxpayers of the city of New Haven. That's why I believe in hiring New Haven first. Hiring New Haven first means that we're going to bring out our best and brightest local talent to make sure that the people that are representing our departments have solid relations with those in the community, and we can trust them to make the best decisions on the behalf of our taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. The Marcus Platt that comes from Carlos Resto of La Voz.
Good evening. This is a question about how would the Board of technically to include the Latino community so they can feel they are very represented in your administration?
Well, as Paul stated in my bio, I grew up in the Hill in New Orleans. I grew up around a lot of Latinos. Latinos were some of my best friends growing up. And what I would say about that is that New Haven is an inclusive city. New Haven is the type of city that loves all people, we're empathetic, we're compassionate, and I believe a proper representation of Latino workers will be in my administration. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to use that as a way to pander to Latinos either. There are a lot of intelligent, bright Latinos in our communities that have not had an opportunity to move up through the ranks in the city government. I want to be the mayor that looks at a person's qualifications. I want to be a mayor that looks at a person's heart and their commitment to our city to make sure that they have the best interests of our residents, our children, and our taxpayers at the forefront of the best interests of their hearts.
Thank you, Mark. Tony Hart, you have 1 minute to respond to that.
Thank you very much. I think it's really important to note in my administration, my chief of staff is Hispanic, that if you look at our police department, 2 assistant chiefs are Hispanic, fire department, 1 assistant chief. And then if you look at what our goals are for our city, we said that we wanted to give 10 points for our city, and the fire department, this recent class, out of the top 100 people to qualify for the fire department, over 74 are New Haven residents, many of whom are Hispanic.
This question is for Mayor Hart. Over the last few years, there have been numerous complaints from citizens about police officers violating their rights. Rights of free speech, false arrest, cameras being taken away, charges thrown out in court. Now, I'm correct if I'm wrong. I don't think the police department has, in any of those cases, said they were wrong or that they were going to do anything differently. Was that an appropriate response, and what should happen moving forward?
You know, I think it is really important that the police department admits when it is wrong. It certainly has its process that it goes through to determine whether or not officers are in error. But I believe, and I supported previously, the Citizen Review Board. And so I am anxious for the Board of Alders to complete their deliberation over enacting a Citizen Review Board so that we have another set of eyes that looks at the kinds of problems that our police have had. I think that the people of New Haven would know that with this extra set of eyes comprised of people in the community, that they would be satisfied that justice was done with members of our police department.
Thank you, Mayor Hart. Mark Packett, we are 1 minute to respond to that question.
Thank you for raising your hand. Because when I go out into our city, what I hear from residents is that folks don't feel safe. As a matter of fact, the only person that walks around with 24-hour security is the mayor. If the city was so safe, why because I'm here to develop our $24 security and pay for the taxpayers. What I would do about a civilian review board to take it one step further than Mayor Harp is I would propose that we have a hybrid board of police commissioners, very much like our board of education, so that we have elected representatives from the community that can actively state what is going on in their neighborhoods and have it mean something. We don't need to create something new. All we need to do is enhance on what we've done. When hate came to our city green, and protesters like Barbara Fair were arrested, some of our police department protected the hate group, the Proud Boys, more than they protected our residents. Under my administration, that did not happen because hate is not normal in New York.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please stay on the podium. This question is from Marcus Packa to Tony Hart.
Mayor Hart, the lack of affordable and low-income housing and the homeless are major issues in our city. Residents, particularly children living in squalor, while being exposed to lead paint and moldy conditions, both of which have been linked to serious health concerns later in life, should not, I repeat, should not be a trademark of our city. Mayor Hart, what is your strategy for ensuring that slumlords and irresponsible developers not turn our city into a place where vulnerable residents are exposed to these types of living conditions?
Mayor Hart, you have 2 minutes to answer this question.
Thank you. I think that one of the most important things that we do is to assure that people live in a decent home. And we have in New Haven, and I really wish that Marcus could get this right, we are building affordable housing in our city. As a matter of fact, Elm City Communities has, during my administration, built at least 300 of new affordable units in our city. There are on tap 760 affordable and subsidized units that are being developed over the next 2 years. We've got to get our facts straight. In terms of homelessness, we are the only city in the state of Connecticut that pays for shelter, that pays for warming stations. We spend over $1 million in our general fund budget to ensure that the homeless are cared for. We work with Columbus House, with Liberty Services, to assure that as they develop housing for people who are ready to move into other areas that they have, and it's really important to understand the homeless are homeless because the state of Connecticut did not keep its promise. These are people who 30 years ago would have been in various kinds of places, and they would not be on our streets. They would be in mental health facilities. But we need to make sure that they have the kind of mental health treatment that they have and behavioral health treatment that they need, and that housing has attached to that same kind of service.
Okay, Mark's back. It's not mandatory to take 1 minute on these questions, but you're welcome to. If you'd like to do 1 minute to respond to these questions, you're welcome to.
Well, I'm glad the mayor has finally admitted that the homeless problem is a serious issue in New Haven, because just a week or two ago, she called the homeless a nuisance downtown. But what we really need to do is talk about plans and action here today. That's what the leadership I offer to the residents of New Haven. I propose that we start a homeless consortium comprised of Yale University, the Chamber of Commerce, philanthropists, all headed by the city of New Haven, that will actively work to eradicate homelessness in our city. That means creating audacious plans like New Hampshire and micro housing so that we can get homeless, the homeless people off the street and get them the services that they need. She talks about inner city housing, and Karen Du Bois is doing a great job over there, but those are not city initiatives. And that is federally funded initiatives. So Mayor Hart should not be taking credit for doing the housing that we have.
The next question is from Tony Hart to Marcus Patch.
You served one term as an alder before your ward voted you out. You served as labor director for less than 2 years before you were fired. Your lack of public accomplishments and lack of experience and lack of support from alders, how do you propose to get anything done?
I'm glad the mayor asked that question. I did serve one term as old, and I'm very proud of that one term that I did serve. My colleagues know that I was reactive and responsible to the needs of the community, that I got streets paved, that I'm responsible for several people going to college. I was responsible for our children and community health community to respond to the needs of our nonprofit, to the financial aid, and I'm very proud. And it just wasn't me that got ousted in 2011. There was a whole bunch of other great alders that were ousted at the hands of the local Yale units. So let's be clear on something. And let's also be clear about the issue of my termination from Mayor Hart's administration. To me, it speaks to the incredible differences between myself and Tony Hart and the type of leadership capabilities we have. Because I value government. I value laws. I value our charter. I value our legal contracts. For a better administration focused on issues, focused on employees, vote for Marcus Patton.
Okay, the next question is by Amanda, and this one is for Tony Hart. The first one is for Marcus, right? This one is Tony Hart from State
Line. Mayor Hart, there are thousands of young people in New Haven who end up here, many of them alive, within the city's prominent colleges and universities. They don't always stay here, though. How would you work to ensure more young people who study in New Haven, stay in New Haven, work in New Haven, buy houses in New Haven, and build families in New Haven?
Things that we are doing to build businesses in New Haven actually helps New Haveners be ready for the jobs that exist here in New Haven. We are working with Gateway Community College and with Southern for a bio-ladder program that prepares people for the jobs that exist here. I've sent people from my administration and around our region to Hanover, Mass. To encourage companies across the world to locate here in New Haven. And we have a Hub 55 from Brazil that has located here. We have Lexion Pharmaceuticals that has elected here. And more young people are staying in our community. They are getting the jobs that are here. And that's why developers are developing here and developing market level rents. So that as we do more and more of that, more people will be able to stay here, particularly the millennials who want to walk to work, ride their bicycles to work. We are the fourth most walkable city in the United States, and we are changing our landscape with complete streets to assure ease of bicycle riding And as well, we have public transportation that works with this young group of people. But we are constantly recruiting companies to come in here, and more of our young people are opting to stay in New Haven.
Thank you, Mayor Hart. Welcome, you have 1 minute to respond.
That's all. Would you repeat the question, sir?
Sure. I said there are thousands of young people in New Haven, many of them who arrive here to attend the city's prominent colleges and universities. They don't always stay here, though. So I was curious, how would you work to ensure more young people who study in New Haven stay in New Haven to work, buy homes, and build families here?
Thank you for that question. When you look at the retention rate of New Haven, and you ask why so many people leave after they graduate, I think we could look at a couple of different reasons. First of all, economic development has stalled in New Haven. When you look at the one-hour train to New York, when you look at the Live, Work, Learn, Play project, when you look at the Hill and Downtown project, when you look at the Route 34 project, none of these projects are complete under the Harper administration. What I propose is that we start working better with the state so we can stimulate economic growth through solid workforce initiatives. What I want to do is create a green market initiative which focuses on New Haven being the leader in green technology, creating an incubator, letting the smart, intelligent people in our communities have an opportunity to install solar panels and utilize wind technology a little bit more effectively. Thereby, not only creating economic development and workforce opportunities for our young college graduates and recent graduates, but also helping our environment. In addition to that, I also started at the beginning of my campaign, the Progress Impact of the Millennial Task Force. And what the Millennial Task Force, some of the representatives are right over here, what the Millennial Task Force does, it focuses on developing the leaders of tomorrow, today. It brings in an academic set of people and makes sure that they understand that they have a stake in the future of our city. That we can definitely start developing the policies that are going to be beneficial for them tomorrow, today.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tell me why you have a minute to respond, and then we're going to stay here for the next question.
Thank you very much. And again, you know, it has been a number of years since Marcus has actually been looking at policy in New Haven. If he'd been looking at policy, he would know that we are already growing green jobs. He would know that we were the first city to come out of the recession in Connecticut. He would know that actually New Haven is driving the economy of the state. And so we're also the leader in building solar panels, and we're the leader in sustainability in the state. So I would hope that the other candidate could get his facts straight.
Yeah. Your question is for Mayor Tony Hawk.
Mayor Hart, in a recent debate, you mentioned that gentrification wasn't something that was actually happening here in New Haven. And that comment actually got comment boards and message boards really going. So can you tell me a bit about what you meant by that, considering that developments such as Church Street South are in transition, and developments such as the Corsair, the Novella, and the Winchester are making it difficult for locals to take advantage of downtown or near downtown living?
Well, you know, first of all, I would disagree with your statement that it's making people have any more of a difficult problem locating in downtown than they had before. So what is gentrification? Gentrification is when one population is moved out and a wealthier and richer population is moved in. When you look at the development that has occurred in New Haven, it has occurred on parking lots that had gone empty so long we didn't even know maybe that there used to be buildings and housing on those parking lots. It's occurred in an old tire factory or an old propeller factory that had been vacant for years. That was the Coast Sale. And it is occurring in places in downtown when there just weren't uses. The only place where a population has been displaced, and I would think that the level of housing that they had in that place was substandard, and that is the Duncan Hotel. And what we have, though, when people are displaced, as they are in the Duncan Hotel, is that we have the Housing Authority and Livable Cities Initiative that works to assure that they're placed in housing, and oftentimes better housing than what they are coming from. So I think that we've got to get our facts straight. Are we developing? Are we growing? Absolutely. We're building housing in buildings that used to be commercial buildings. We're building on parking lots, but we are not displacing poor populations. And what I project will happen as we have these more apartments that are more costly, that the other apartments close to downtown will actually reduce in price.
Thank you, Mayor Hart.
You're listening to the Great Mayoral Debate with Marcus Peck and Tony Harp on WNHH Radio 103.5 FM.
And the reason why I know gentrification is a problem is because that's what people tell me when I knock on their doors. When you look down Whaley Avenue, when you look down Dixon Avenue, when you look down Grand Avenue, when you look down Howard Avenue, when you look down Congress Avenue, it looks exactly the same as it did 40 years ago. What we want to do is we want to make sure is that the Rankinesque, reminiscent of trickle-down economics that Mayor Hart is basically saying right now, that a rising tide raises all boats is not the answer. The answer is more affordable housing, more focus from a city perspective on affordable housing and low-income housing, bringing in developers that focus on those types of projects so we do not price our very, very valuable residents out of their homes. What we need to start doing is prioritizing our residents and focusing just on high market rent apartments for $3,000 to $5,000 or $6,000 in New Haven is not the answer.
This question from Carlos Resto is for Tony Hart.
Mayor, given the position of the President of the United States regarding the sanctuary city, do you believe New Haven should continue being a sanctuary city, and how far are you willing to go?
You know, I think that it is in the interest of the safety of the people of New Haven that our neighbors feel safe. I would not sell our neighbors down the river for a few silver coins. Every people that have come to this country, except for the indigenous people of the United States, are immigrants one way or another, or they were slaves who were brought here against their will. We are a country that says that you come here if you want to work hard, no matter your status, that you can be American and you can fulfill your dream. So I believe that we have got to make our young people feel safe. And it affects everybody else when they don't feel safe. When kids come to school and they're crying because their parents may be taken away or they may be taken away, it affects every other child in that classroom. I met two young girls who are absolutely American girls, and their mother said to me, "The girls are so proud of you because of your stance, because their friends are afraid and they're crying." We are an immigrant country, and we need to protect one another and our neighbors.
Well, just to be clear, I support sanctuary cities 100%. 100%. I support sanctuary cities because I do not believe families should be ripped apart. I do not believe that folks should be living in fear, including our children, and I believe that we all have a right to experience the American dream. And you know what? I'll take it one step further. I will actively fight this current administration about DACA. The Dreamers are Americans. And they have a right to be here, they have a right to stay here, and they have a right to the American dream, just like any other American.
The next question is from Mark Pacca. Mr. Pacca, a hurricane in Irma is headed our way. It might not hit us, it might. If it doesn't, given the record of the last bunch of years, if you are the mayor, you're going to be dealing with a major storm like a hurricane or a snowmageddon. If that happens, what are the specific steps you're going to take in the 12 hours leading up to the storm hitting and in the 24 hours after?
Thank you for that question, Paul. And for the record, just so everyone knows, New Haven sits in a natural basin. So when there's a lot of water that comes in, it automatically fills up. And that's why we need to have an emergency preparedness plan available and ready to implement at any sign of a major storm. That means staying up night and day in the EOC emergency center, ensuring that we are planning, ensuring that we are making sure that people are safe and have proper resources, ensuring that people that are in harm's way have an opportunity to get out. It takes a leader with courage, it takes a leader with energy, and it takes a leader who's willing to fight for what is right to make those types of things happen. That's the reason why I want to be your mayor. Thank you.
I have a request from the candidate that people stop screaming when they are speaking. Mayor Hart, you have a minute to respond. The question was, specific steps taking 12 hours leading up to a major storm and then the first 24 hours.
Thank you very much for that question. Well, we already have a plan. And we met today in the Emergency Operations Center to show that we understand what our floodplains are and that we are going to be prepared if we have to evacuate anyone to get them out of our city and onto higher ground. We have those plans in place. We have a booklet, a family preparedness, our emergency preparedness guide, so that everyone can get ready should that occur. There is something called CT Prepares. I suggest all of you get that app. So if somehow you get trapped or you get moved, people will know that you are okay. You'll be able to communicate immediately with all of your family members. We are prepared. We are the best prepared city in the state. We have shown our preparedness over time. The governor came to New Haven today to talk about Connecticut's preparedness because he knows that we are prepared to face a Category 4 or 5 storm.
Thank you very much.
I'm proud of what I've accomplished as a black man in America. And for you to claim that I have not accomplished anything just speaks to the inherent problems that we have as a community right now in New Haven. I am a young black man trying to make a difference in my city and a positive way. Or about to be murdering people, at least you would have your guard right there with you to protect you. So, what I'm saying is this. I want to make sure that I am the type of mayor that is responsive to all New Havers. I want to make sure that we stop leading from behind. I want to make sure we stop leading from behind, start being more proactive, rein in expenses, provide economic and workforce opportunities for our residents, make sure our students can succeed in post-secondary opportunities past high school, because a lot of students are not succeeding, and make sure that we create a better future for all New Havers. That's my plan, Mayor Harper, and I'm going to continue to do that. Thank you.
Mayor Hart has 1 minute to respond to Marcus Packer's answer.
Sure. One of the things that Marcus Packer did not do was answer the question. He ought to have a body of work. He ought to have experience. And he shouldn't want to use mayor as a learn-as-you-go job.
That the heckling in this hearing is making it impossible for people at home to listen. This is an idea, that's your opinion. I think this is everyone's debate. I appreciate that you're here. And I also appreciate that people might not be able to be here or watching at home. So please make your candidate proud by showing the respect to let everybody talk. Mayor Hart, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. This is another case in point where in fact, Mr. Marcus needs to get his facts straight. I just want to be clear that I came into office. We had a $14 million problem that I had to solve in 6 months. I solved it, and we ended the year in the black. I understand budgeting because, yes, I did it for 11 years in the General Assembly. And yes, I made it my business to send resources down to this community so that we can take care of our young people, we can take care of our youth, so we can take care of our homeless, so that we can provide the services that this community vitally needs. But for the past 4 years, audited figures, New Haven's general fund has ended in the black, and you can take it to the bank. Taxpayers of New Haven should be proud. We have held taxes constant. As a matter of fact, our taxes are lower than Hampton and West Haven, and we are in a much better, solid physical condition than either of those towns or either of the large towns in our city, and I am proud of that.
People not to yell. If you want your candidate's message to be heard at the city at large, then you will not turn out your candidate when she or he is speaking.
Thank you, Paul. So the mayor is talking about how she balanced the budget for the past 3 or 4 years, but she doesn't tell you how. She's actually balanced the budget on the back of debt restructuring and bond sales. So that means, we are basically kicking the can down the road for future generations of neighbors to pay, making our city less livable for millennials and others. That's number one. Number two, taxes. Now, I don't know about some of you, but I know there's a lot of people, maybe some in this room, that received a reevaluation letter from the, for their home taxes last December. It was very, very poorly communicated. And when I go out and I talk to folks in the East Shore and I talk to folks in East Rock, they're telling me that they can no longer afford to live in New Haven even though their homes are paid off. That's a problem. We need a mayor who is going to be a better communicator. We need a mayor who's not going to balance the budget on the backs of our young people. We need a mayor that's going to be honest and forthright about the current state of the fiscal realities of our city. And that is Marcus Pappen. Thank you.
We have time for one more question from the panel from the state on for Tony Hawk. Why don't we let the siren go by? Siren.
Mayor, in March, one of your staff members had an unfortunate incident with the union vice president. And while it was an isolated incident, there seemed to be some history between your administration and Local 3144. There was some contention, there. And my question is, though, how prepared are you to hire staff that will effectively negotiate with labor unions?
Tony Hartman, 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. One of the things that was brought to my attention, I gave someone a chance to be our labor director who was not an attorney, and I would say that was one of the biggest mistakes that I made. And so it's really important. I have now hired a labor attorney with decades of experience who will work with all of our unions, not just Local 3144. One of the things that Marcus will not tell you is that the petition that Local 3144 hates so much was something that he pushed time and time and time again. And you know, I feel really badly that I made the mistake of hiring someone as a labor director who had not had that experience, who made a lot of mistakes that cost taxpayers money, and is continuing to do that with a lawsuit that exists that he is filing against our city. So for someone who is so concerned about taxpayers in our city, I wonder why Marcus wants to spend the taxpayers' money with this frivolous lawsuit.
Yes!
She didn't answer the question. It was Mike Carter, not me, that assaulted a 3144 employee. That's just the facts. Okay, that's number one. Her CAO. Number two, I worked for Tony Hart for 2 years as her labor director, yes. And during that time, not only did she not really care about unionized issues, she worked actively to undermine Nicole Jefferson, not only Nicole Jefferson and all the CEO staff, but also people like Jackie James, Ron Manning. Okay, Romero Cruz in the police department, all of these people, Casanova, Chief Casanova in the police department, she uses character assassinations to justify her actions. To me, that's not leadership. If I was her and I made a bad decision like her, if she said hiring me was a bad decision, I would take responsibility, apologize, and try to do better the next time. Not try to blame it on somebody else. A leader has to take responsibility. And as far as the petition, I didn't sign off on the petition, she did. And as far as the lawsuit, once I win as their remainder, my lawsuit will be dropped, but I had to protect myself against a wrongful termination. Thank you.
Marcus Packer will be the first as the result of the coin toss. He will give the first final statement. Marcus Packer, the floor is yours.
Please,
Tonight, people, you listen to two candidates make their pitches for what is best for our city. Running against someone in your own party rarely means disagreeing on policy issues. Where the mayor and I disagree is on prioritization, strategy, and implementation. Sometimes, what gets lost in translation is that this election is not about Tony Hawk and it's not about Marcus Packard. This election is about deciding where our city goes from here. And what kind of city we want to become, and what kind of city we want to lead to our children in the future. I want to be your next mayor because I have the vision, courage, and enthusiasm to lead us into the future productively. Unfortunately, the office of the mayor is being abused in the name of gaining power. City Hall has shown a bishop for governing by intimidation and strong-arm tactics. When hate groups came to our doorstep, there was an unwillingness to address their presence. To paraphrase President Carter, the erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream. It is the idea that founded our nation and has guided us in our development as a people. We've always believed in a thing called progress. We've always had faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith. New Haven deserves a listener and a collaborator. This administration has had 4 years to plan and enact the change we need and has failed to do so. It is time we took education back to the basics so our children have the preparation they need for a brighter tomorrow. It is time we stripped away the practices of cronyism from our city. It is time we have a mayor for every New Havener, regardless of race, income level, nationality, sexual orientation, or ability. As mayor, I will be hands-on. I will assure that together we will rebuild, our city's finances and businesses, ensure the well-being of our children and seniors, and reclaim our neighborhoods. New Haven needs change and progress, and with your support, we will create that change together. New Haven deserves a mayor that has the energy and vision to generate real solutions to real problems. With your support, I will be that leader that will help New Haven realize its truest potential. I am respectfully asking for your support. Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless New Haven.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to share with you what we have accomplished. Unfortunately, Marcus is running on revenge. He has no body of work to indicate that he can do the job. When I first ran, I told you that together we can move New Haven forward. And we have. We've balanced the city budget for 4 years in a row, and our city's mill rate or tax rate is lower than our neighbors of Hampton or West Haven, lower than most of the major cities in our state. In safety, we have used innovation to make our city safer. We still are upset that anyone is shot or killed in our city. Every bullet in our city is a tragedy. But we have worked on these things. The world is coming to New Haven to see how we have achieved this success. We've had visitors from Honduras and from Sweden. We have instituted Project Longevity, Community Youth Step, and we have a collaboration that goes across our U.S. Attorney's Office, our State's Attorney's Office, our state and federal authorities, and we are bringing crime down to unprecedented levels. On education, we have engaged in school change 2.0. We've reduced absenteeism and reduced expulsions. Similar districts have 85 expulsions a year. This year in New Haven, this past school year, we had 14 expulsions. Why? because we know that our kids are safer in school than they are out of school, and you've got to be in your seat if you're going to learn. 31 out of 40 schools showed an increase in the state's accountability index, making double-digit gains. And 10 of our schools received national merit awards from Magnet Schools of America. We are educating our kids, and I know there are some who will tell you the graduation rates don't matter, but you've got to start there and do more. In 2010-11 school year, we had a 63.9 graduation rate. Now it's up to 77.5. We are growing businesses in our community, and we have more to do, but I know that it's going to take me working with each and every one of you, working with our Board of Aldermen, working with our state delegation. I have done that because I have the body of work to do it, and I know that it's going to take all of us working together to move New Haven forward. I appreciate your vote.
There you have it, folks. Make up your own mind. Marcus Packer, Tony Harp, candidates for mayor, debating at Booker T. Washington Academy. Tuesday, September 12th. Vote if you are a registered Democrat. The polls will be open. Thank you for listening today to Dateline New Haven. I'm Paul Bass, your host. It's always a pleasure. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight and fly free with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.